Testimonials always get my attention. I love to hear people tell stories about what works for them. It doesn't matter really what kind of testimonials. We always love the ones about diets and how people lost 96 pounds and were totally transformed. I'm always hoping. And children give a lot of testimonials. Our little grandson the other night, he's three, and he said, "I was really, really scared, but I took my special blue blanket and I put it over my face, and then I wasn't scared anymore." A child's testimonial on how to deal with fear. And the story that was read this morning about Tabitha is a testimonial. It's a story about how Peter was called in by the women whom this amazing disciple Tabitha devoted her life to, these poor women. And they called in Peter. He came, he sat beside her, he prayed, and then he said to her, "Tabitha, rise up." And she rose from the dead. And the scripture says that people heard about this story all over, and they came to believe in the Lord. So testimonials have kind of a transformational quality. Today I want to talk about that. I am convinced that we can all benefit by being more comfortable hearing and telling stories about death. Every single one of us is going to die. And if we live a very long time, we're going to have to deal with the death of most of our friends and family. In addition to death, we have hundreds of other kinds of losses, like people moving away, families falling apart, health and sometimes health care falling apart, society and the climate acting crazy and out of control. If you read the papers this morning, the insanity of the whole, all the things that happened at a white supremacist rally, and everything changing all of the time. All of these losses prepare us for the next losses and for the biggest ones. But I think especially if we give testimonials, if we tell stories from our own experience about what makes loss bearable and what we can learn from it. And so today I'm going to continue to talk about Tabitha and her death and resurrection in Acts 9. And then I'm going to give eight testimonial short stories about what I learned from my parents about death. Are you with me? All right. First of all, let me just get it totally out of your head that our family was any kind of idealized anything. That was just not the case. However, my mom and dad were superstars when it came to talking about death. They talked about it so easily that we felt as children that death was kind of like this distant relative that we would finally get to meet, and when we did, it would be wonderful, the best, safe, fun, beautiful, and quite soon everybody that we knew and loved would join us. As children, the four of us were taken to the calling hours of friends and relatives from the time that we could behave. I remember my mother and my grandmother looking at our great Aunt Lily in the casket and straightening her dress and talking about her. They answered my seven-year-old questions. Can she hear us? Well, no, not in the same way that she used to. Can I touch her? Well, yes, you may, but I want to just let you know that her body is going to be very cold because her spirit is not in it anymore. Aunt Lily's spirit is with Jesus. I said, "Is that weird?" And she said, "No, her spirit can visit us in our hearts when we think about her, and it's not really scary. It's just different." And they said, "God has it figured out, so we don't have to worry about it." So the first testimonial was, death is normal. God is in charge. Testimonial number two. Picture this. 12 years old, at grandmother's funeral, The pastor was reading that familiar scripture from John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you, and that where I am, you may be also? At that very moment, the word became so profoundly real to me that I knew it was true in a mysterious kind of way. And from that day forward, I also knew that the Bible could speak to you like a close friend and tell you things you needed to know. And from that day, I discovered that when people read stories about what Jesus said, that you can experience Jesus speaking directly to you. Testimonial number three, cremation. I remember the struggle that Mother had years ago deciding to be cremated instead of buried, because she loved the casket traditions that she grew up with. But Daddy reminded her that at one of the churches he served, the cemetery had to be dug up and moved. And when they excavated, they saw that at the bottom of each grave was a simple layer of rich earth that had once been a body 100-plus years before. And so Mama responded in her very southern voice, "Well, I guess I might as well be cremated and get it over with." Testimonial number four. Mom and Dad used to make jokes about death all the time, especially my dad. When Daddy was really sick, I would call him in the morning and say, "Daddy, how are you doing this morning?" And he said, "Well, I got up and read the newspaper, and I made honorable mention in the obituaries," he would say. And when he lost his mobility, he would say, "I gotta keep moving. You gotta keep moving and they won't throw dirt on you." Mom and Dad made all of their funeral arrangements way in advance, very early on. They had such a positive and friendly attitude about death, but they were not naive about it. Daddy lost his little brother and sister in childhood. Mother's father died right in front of her when she was 12 years old. Mother's six brothers and sister died before she did, one of them dying of suicide. And their son, my brother, died of cancer at a very early age. And in World War II, my dad used to tell the story about how the two men on either side of him were killed. So they were not immune to tragedy or heartbreak, unfairness, even horror. But still, the message that came through is death is normal and God is in charge. Testimony number five. We were with Mama when they took the breathing tube out. She had had a brain aneurysm the day before. They put it in so that we could all arrive and say goodbye. But it was impossible for her to breathe on her own at 85, so we watched them take it out. She lived about just a few minutes. And then in one last long exhale, she was gone. Her essence vanished right before our eyes, and left her sweet old body looking like a beautiful sculpture, not a living being. Just the night before, we had talked on the phone, and her last words were what she always said at the end of the phone call: "Bye-bye, darling. I love you." Now, I'm telling you these stories because I think it is important to give testimonies about death and dying, to tell stories of this precious season called the end stage of earthly life, is both healing and assuring. Sharing our faith and trust in the eternal presence of God is beautiful. And it's important to remember to say something like, bye-bye, darling, I love you, every time. Every time. Testimony number 6, memorial services. Well, as a pastor for 40 years, I performed hundreds of memorial services. I loved doing them because they were so intimate. They were talking about the essence of that person that moves on when they die. But going to mother's service as a daughter and not the minister was different. I wasn't talking about somebody else's death. I was experiencing my mom being gone, and at the same time, her spiritual presence being with me. It was not like the Bible story of Tabitha being raised from the dead when Peter prayed, but for me, it was a small-scale, subtle experience of resurrection. Mama is gone, but the great mystery is that her spirit is still here. We didn't do anything grandiose at Mom's memorial service. We talked about how great she was with laundry. She never, ever would wash socks and underwear with dish towels. She taught Sunday school at age 80 when she got over her fear of public speaking. She said, it's never too late, you know. And Steve, her former next-door neighbor of 20 years, drove 2 hours to the service and came up and said this. He said, Jean knew that my partner and I were gay. She called us the boys next door, and she treated us like her boys. She gave us the key to her house in case we ever needed anything. She was a wonderful neighbor. Now, I just want to note that the town where Mother's memorial service was held a decade ago was not a safe place to talk about being gay, and certainly not in the church. But that's what happened at her memorial service. You see, a memorial service is a chance for God to use us one more time to make an impact on the people in our orbit. A memorial service is a way of making all of us who are still alive more aware of the small, ordinary things that make a difference. Keeping things and relationships really clean, being neighborly, making lots of people your family, praying for comfort. And so don't let me hear about any of you saying, oh no, I don't want anything, no service for me, just have somebody bury me. No, I don't want to hear about that, because you would be denying your friends and family and maybe even some strangers a chance for the healing of the Holy Spirit that happens when our hearts are opened by love and grief. Because a memorial service is not for you. It's for the people who are still on earth. At your memorial service, the rest of us have a chance to frame the relationship we had with you during life, and to start to piece together the relationship that we have you with you when you leave this earthly plane and go where Jesus said are many dwelling places. It's a time when we begin to start picturing you in one of those Jesus dwelling places, a new picture that needs development. Testimony 7, we're almost there. We had the calling hours at Mom and Daddy's house. People showed up with food and flowers and hugs and love and stories, not a whole lot of words. But they were doing what Mother had done all of her life, sharing simple kindnesses. That's what counts at this time. I remember I started sobbing over the 4 chocolate meringue pies that showed up, because Mom always made Daddy a chocolate meringue pie for his birthday, and it became a symbol of 65 years of love and marriage. And seeing it opened my heart, and I connected with the love and with the loss, particularly for my daddy. See, in the Bible story, we read that this is what the women did for Tabitha. They came to her house. They prepared her body. They brought the clothes that she had made for them, and she showed everybody. And they talked about her acts of charity and devotion. And they wept, and they reached out for guidance. If you want to know something about how to go through the death of a loved one, just read that story of Tabitha in Acts 9. Now, at the time of death or loss or grief, people are more willing to be vulnerable or intimate with you if you just allow it. I remember at calling hours, Mr. A.J. Dexter came and sat beside me. He was a neighbor. He ate pie. And he started telling stories about growing up as a sharecropper's son. The sharecroppers were the next to the lowest on the social scale in rural North Carolina in the 1940s. Kind of like the women in the Bible that Tabitha served. Poor women who didn't have decent clothes until Tabitha made them and gave them. Mr. Dexter told me there at calling hours that his mother had to make his clothes from feed sacks. He talked about how he stuttered so badly that all the children made fun of him in school, and he had dyslexia, the type where he simply could not write. But he got into North Carolina State University on a football scholarship, and he graduated from the engineering school with all A's in math and physics, and ended up an engineer and a highway commissioner. And so I asked Mr. Dexter, how did you get over stuttering? He answered quietly with great authenticity, looking me right in the eye. He said, I gave it to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord gave me a 10th grade teacher who worked with me every afternoon after school before football practice, until I could talk. It was a miracle, he said, a miracle of prayer and conviction and kindness. Now, that's what Peter did in the Bible. Prayed. He prayed for Tabitha, this woman who had served God by kindly serving God's people. And it was a miracle what Peter was able to do through prayer. The story of her resurrection became a testimonial all throughout the land about how God can do things that seem impossible to us. Testimonials like Mr. Dexter's and Tabitha's friends and her healing, they open our heart, and the open heart has a really big payoff. The payoff of an open heart is the experience of being empowered by kindness, fueled by tears, strengthened by pain, connected heart to heart with other beings, even strangers who tell sweet stories at calling hours, even characters in the Bible who become real and like friends. The open heart connects us with the divine mystery that Jesus proclaimed, where I am, you'll be also. So here's the summary. Death is normal. God is in charge. Talk about it. Grieve. Use humor. Celebrate life at the time of death. Kindness is the greatest gift. And God works in ways that seem impossible, so bear witness to your experience. And now the final testimonial. Do we have time? All right. My brother died at 46 after 13 years with cancer. And when the night that he died, we were all at Duke Hospital, Mom and Daddy, my two brothers, their families, my family, Kelly's three teenage sons and his wife. We called in the chaplain after he breathed his last breath, and the chaplain knew exactly what to say to young children, and it was beautiful. And we collected ourselves, and we walked towards the elevator, all of us, a big old mass of family, and we squeezed into the elevator, and all of a sudden, one of my nephews, Kelly's son, let out the biggest belch heard in America thus far. So we all started laughing hysterically in the elevator. We were just about to fall over laughing. You know that kind of laugh that releases years of tension. Well, the elevator was about to close. We saw this woman running over to the elevator to try to catch it. She heard us laughing. She looked in and saw how crowded it was, and she said, "I'll take the next elevator." So we went down to the lobby, and we were laughing and crying and hugging and talking about logistics. Because, you know, logistics, when things are difficult, logistics and rituals become our anchor. We were talking about all of that, and the elevator door opened, and this lady came out, and my brother Jim and my mother were standing side by side, and she went over to them, and she said, "Excuse me, has there been a birth?" And they looked at her, and they said, "Yes." And that's the good news of the gospel. We are born. We walk together as we suffer and laugh and die. And we are given a new birth into what Christians call the resurrection and life everlasting. And the whole way, God is with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.